Heavenly Father, we're thankful to you for what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf and all that we have and all that we are because of what he did. Thank you, Father, for your great faithfulness and for all that's been accomplished on our behalf. We're so thankful, Father. We thank you. We praise you. And are so thankful for the walk that we have and enjoy with you because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Thank you, Father, for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, I would like for you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to go to two places tonight. Matter of fact, if you got ribbons, do this. Put one of your ribbons in Luke 22. Okay? And the other ribbon, put it in John 13. Okay? Luke 22 and John 13. What I wanted to do tonight was to spend some time at what is referred to as the Last Supper. It's really a remarkable record. It's a remarkable record of love. It's a remarkable record of the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ in doing and saying and exactly what the Father wanted done and said. And like I said earlier, to look at this in light of the timing, what Jesus Christ realized at this time, and you see the great love that he had for these men. It just kind of takes your breath away. So the Gospel of John is unique in that it has a lot of details that are not in the other Gospels. I think I'm correct when I say the only thing that is common to all four is the betrayal. The institution of what we refer to as communion, the bread and the wine in remembrance of what our Lord Jesus Christ did, is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Not mentioned in John. So, with that, I want to begin in Luke chapter 22. I'm even going to hold the pages in between the two. That'll make it easier. Luke chapter 22. And I wanted to start in verse 14. And it says in verse 14, "And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Prior to this, he had his men prepare a room in the city in Jerusalem for the Passover. This meal that we are reading about was most likely in Bethany, which is where they stayed. In these verses here, his desire was to eat the Passover with his men, but it wasn't going to happen. Because as it opens in verse 22, it says he knew his hour had come. Now, I want you to turn or flip the grouped pages together and go to John chapter 13. And we're just going to read one verse for now, and then we'll be back. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, meaning the nth degree. He knew his hour would come. There's a verse, more than one, but there's one in John 7, verse 30, where it says, they sought, the religious leaders, sought to lay hands on him, but his hour was not yet come. Mm. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ gave his life. He handed himself over. They didn't take it. See? And his hour come, meaning that the time had come when he would give himself over to the powers of darkness to be sacrificed. So that sort of sets the stage for this evening that we're reading about. Go back to Luke chapter 22, please. I'm going to read 16 again. It says, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." You know, with desire, he had desire to eat the Passover. We know that Jesus Christ was our Passover. Because he was crucified at the same time they were killing their Passover lambs and so on. But he was the Passover. And what is being instituted here is a memorial to remember. Just as Passover was a memorial to Israel, this is a memorial to you and I, to remember what he did. That his blood was shed, that his body was broken and given for us. And we're to do this in remembrance of him. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament, a new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you. Now, let's stop here, and I want to go back to the Gospel of John. He had taken that cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. Well, here's something else that happened after supper. And supper being ended, the devil, having now or already, put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now. You don't understand now, but you will hereafter. And Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed need not to save, not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. And that's something. He washed Judas's feet. Wow. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. See? Now, this isn't talking about a foot washing ceremony. And I think we understand that. But it's that heart of service. Jesus Christ was Lord. He was, and they didn't understand. They didn't yet understand what he knew. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew that he was going to give himself over to the power of darkness. He understood that he would go through torture, that they would do some things to him, and that he would die. And he would do it on their behalf. And they didn't understand all of this yet. And you see this kind of service, this kind of heart. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But he that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eats bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He's quoting from Psalm 41:9. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am. And verily I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. And when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. One of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Let's stop here and let's go back to Luke 22. So it's one of you. In another gospel, which is an indicator that the 12 weren't necessarily the only ones at this supper. When he's asked who shall betray him, he says one of the 12. If it were just the 12, he might not have said one of the 12. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? Kind of interesting. But anyway, Luke chapter 22, and we're going to pick it up in verse 21. Now this is after, in Luke anyway, after he instituted the memorial. But behold, the hand of him that betrays me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves. They began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also, this is interesting, look at this. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. God bless them. Anyway. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. Boy, I wonder if this was the point at which he girded himself and washed their feet. I don't know. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat, but I am among you as he that what? That serves. So this all went on after, you know, when he mentions that one of them would betray him. Okay? Now, I want you to turn back to John 13. And I'm going to read 21 again. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Peter's kind of secretly, you know, he then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Isn't that something? This indicates that most likely then, Judas had a seat of honor next to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if he had dipped that sop and handed it to him like this, that would have been a place of honor. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. Some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Isn't that something? They just didn't understand. You know, even the fact that they thought that he might have said to Judas, "Buy something for the feast," Jesus Christ has already told them how he had desired to eat the Passover with them. Mm-hmm. But he wouldn't. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
They just didn't understand. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, and this is kind of neat, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now, is the Son of Man what?
Glorified.
He didn't say, "Now is the Son of Man betrayed." Now is the Son of Man glorified. And God is glorified in him. And if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Isn't that something? Five times this word glorify is used. This word glorify means to bring honor. Where honor, magnificence is manifested. God would be glorified. His magnificence would be glorified. And his Son, Jesus Christ, would bring great honor to God. Because God had promised a redeemer for mankind. His Son, Jesus Christ, would obediently carry out everything the Father told him to do, thereby bringing glory to that God who had promised redemption all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. And God would glorify him in giving him a name that is above every name. Isn't that something? That's what Jesus Christ was saying, and that's what he understood, and that's what he knew. Troy. Where did we end there? Verse 32?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to Luke 22. He teaches them again about service. 28. "You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy believing fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Boy, he's just taking care of business. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, Peter, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that you know me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nope, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And then he tells them what that is, that he was reckoned among the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, there are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Now, I want you to turn to the Gospel of John. Back to the Gospel of John. And he continues to teach them. Little children, yet a little while in verse 33. I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? Why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, you'll lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. In chapter 14, just kind of scratch it out. You'll deny me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, this is just amazing. Because this would have been a heavy thing to say. You're going to deny that you even know me. You know, this was very emphatic. This is one of those things when you study in God's Word, he said it four times. And the fourth time, he said, twice, you'll deny me three times. Peter denied him a total of six times. Pretty heavy. Because Peter was not he wasn't a wallflower. He wasn't a weak man. Really something. So you look at these next words and watch where Jesus Christ takes it. Tonight, you'll deny me. But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. See where he takes him? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you're going, and how can we know the way? God bless him. And Jesus said unto him, I'm the way. I am. You know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. And we're good. We're good. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He does the works. You've seen the Father. You've seen the Father. When I healed the blind man, you saw the Father. When I caused the dumb to speak, you saw the Father. All of those things that Jesus Christ said and did was showing them the Father. That was the Father. Isn't that something? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. See, Jesus Christ is going to leave him, but he's not going to leave him comfortless. And this came to pass on the day of Pentecost. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. See, because I live, because God would resurrect him. He would get up from the dead. And because God got him up from the dead and resurrected him, which Jesus Christ knew that God would do, you're going to live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. He told them that back in verse 12, that I go unto my Father. And because I go unto my Father, you're going to do the works that I've done in grave. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. The other Gospels, or Matthew and Mark, I believe, say that they sang a hymn. And then they left. So after this teaching, it could be that they sang a hymn together. A song of praise is what it means. And then they went to the garden. Isn't that something? Now, the Gospel of John, of course, there's a lot more teaching that took place on the way to the garden. But this supper, this last supper that they had together, you know, it was a time of, it would have been a time of great emotion. A certain level of confusion on the part of these men. They were told one of them would betray him. So they knew it was going to be one of the 12. They didn't know who. Even when Judas left, they didn't know. They didn't know why he left. You know, but they knew it would be one of them. It's really something. But Jesus Christ, and then they, you know, they're arguing among themselves who's going to be the greatest among them after Jesus is gone. You see, they weren't quite getting it. But Jesus Christ just kept loving him, kept loving him, kept loving him, kept loving him. Hey, did Peter strengthen his brethren when he was converted?
Yeah.
He sure did. He sure did. He served. See, isn't that something? And you see how these men, you know, ultimately responded. And the great, great, great love of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and those men were men. They're people just like we're people. Isn't that something? You know, the word says that God demonstrated his love to us by the giving of his son when we were enemies. Enemies. Not just not born again. Enemies. That's against God that he did that. So when you think about now being sons of God, and you think about that scripture in Romans where it says, you know, what would he withhold from us now? What good thing? Nothing. See. So that's how we approach our Father. So, you know, that love and that willing sacrifice that Jesus Christ did, he went into it knowing. Because we're going to do a communion tonight and we're going to proclaim that, what he did for us. But you think about that great love. It's amazing. It's just amazing. It was the love of God. That's what it was. He who has seen me, who has seen the Father. That's the love of our Father. Isn't that something? You know, and that's how we see our Heavenly Father.